my business.
This conference will.
I'm not finding business builders. All these issues that could be going on for you, and that the question becomes, why is it that my life, or why is it that my business isn't changing? So it might not just be a question about your life, but why is my Manatech business not changing, since you're spending so much time and energy on it? So great little article written by Terry Gagne, and I'll just kind of drift into that and kind of give you a summary of what he says in his article. And then he also is the author of a book, How Can I Get Myself to Do What I Need to Do? And it kind of reminds me of the book, Ryan Klemmer's book, If How-To's Were Enough, We'd All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy. I think they seem to have the same title. I would expect that the material is probably very different in Terry's book because people approach that topic differently. But I think it'd be fascinating to get Terry's insight on that as well. So you could look as a possibility of acquiring his book as well. But let's talk about what he said in his article. Terry starts off with talking about just time as a concept, because a lot of times we hear people complain about not having enough time, and time is truly our only limited asset. I'm hearing some clicking on the phone. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can clarify that. There, that helped. I think somebody got off mute and had some noise in the background. Okay, so anyway, so he talks about time. Time, you know, people, I don't have time, and I want to tackle this one for a lot of different issues. I'm not just taking the materials out of Terry's, but just to give you some helpful responses to it, because a lot of people, even when people I talk to, I was working with a woman a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and she was complaining about she didn't have enough time, and I love to respond to people when they say that. I like to say, well, what does your life look like 6 months from now or 12 months from now? And usually people that say they don't have any time, their life doesn't look any different 6 months or 12 months from now, because they're not choosing to do something different. They're stuck in a pattern of behavior that's causing them to lead a life of chaos. And so you ask them that question, and the response, when they give you the response that you know, it doesn't look any different, it looks, you know, then it's just a wonderful thing to say that's exactly the reason you need to take a serious look at this business, because this is an opportunity for you to have the time that you're looking for, or get more time in your life, or start appreciating life more than what you've been doing in the past. So that's the beauty of what we have to offer them. You can take their complaint or their objection and convert it into a reason why they should take a look at the business opportunity, because truly, by doing networking, they can get more free time in their life. But all of us really have the same amount of time. I always tell people it's the only limited asset we have, because no matter whether you're Mary Jo or you're so-and-so or whatever you are or wherever you are or whatever you're doing, we still all have the same 24 hours a day. There's not a way of getting 26 hours in a day, and there's not a way of losing. I guess there are plenty of ways of losing, but you might misuse it, but you don't technically lose it. We all have 20 ways, so we all have the exact amount of time. So when people make the statement, we don't have time, I hear that a lot from people that don't want to exercise. They'll go, well, I'm so busy, I don't have time. I go, it's not about time. It's so hilarious when you hear people say that. You know, our position should always be to step in their lives, to open their eyes to what they're really saying, because they're confused. It's not that they don't have time. Any one of you who look at your life and say, I don't have time to do something, it has nothing to do with not having the time to do it. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you're doing, how busy you are, whatever's on your agenda. Everybody has time to do what they prioritize to get done. So it's not about I don't have time. It's about you haven't placed it as a priority, or you haven't made something a priority. And that's the reality of the whole time issue. It's about what are you prioritizing? What's most important to you in your life? And this is an important foundation to lay down for this training today, because it is about prioritizing our time. It's about what are we need to understand and grapple with the fact that time is our only limited asset. We only get 24 hours. And what we do in that time makes all the difference in the world to the results that we create. So we have time to do everything and anything that we choose to do, as long as we make it a priority in our lives. And making it a priority is what's going to give you the energy to allocate time to do it. So you always have enough time to do what you choose to get done. So do not go victim to time. That's just it's a dead end. It's a lost cause. It'll cause you to live a life of frustration. and spinning wheels. It'll be the hamster wheel, as we call it, of life. And he also talks about managing time, and it was kind of a cute way of looking at it. I've always talked about good, you know, getting people who have good time management skills, but the reality is that we don't really manage time, because time is not something you can manage. I can't make time speed up or slow down. I can allocate time to things. I can do that, but that's just managing our activities. It's not managing. We're not managing time. We're managing an event, or managing an activity, or managing some things that happen in our life, our priorities, or our schedule. But time in and of itself can't be managed. Time is just a concept that we all have. And so it was just an interesting perspective on it. And am I going to stop my language around talking about time management? Probably not, because it's a lingo. It's a method of communication with people that people understand. And that's most important, is to be understood. But it was fascinating to me the way he analyzed it, to suggest we're really not managing time. We're managing ourselves and our priorities and our actions. Okay, so laying that foundation of time, so how critical it is that we look at what we're dedicating our time to do. The second foundational piece that he laid down before he got into his analysis was that when we look at success, that we look at success for what it is in our lives. We all want to be successful in different things, and people, you know, might have done certain things in their life and they've been wildly successful at it, but that people who've gone into other areas lack significant success in those areas. And if we truly knew how we became successful in one particular area, why wouldn't it necessarily apply in the next area? Well, first of all, we need to try to understand what are some basic success principles in life and if we looked at that, what might those be? If we were going to achieve success, what ideas do you guys have? And I'm just asking you to come off mute and just give me an idea. What would it take to be successful? What are principles in life that create success in our life? Principles. What factors of success? I'll kick it off because no one's getting off of mute, but I'll just throw out there and say, I think passion, having passion, is a critical factor of success. Would people agree with that? Passion. What other factors play a role in success?
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Never quitting.
Okay, so we'll call that perseverance. How's that? Perseverance. Great. I believe 100% in that. I think having perseverance is a critical characteristic for success. Absolutely. Anyway.
Hi, Bill. This is Rebecca. How about diligence?
Diligence, great, diligence, yeah. So, with diligence, I'll call that consistent effort, that we're diligent, that we don't start and stop, and we keep a sense of diligence, a sense of urgency around our activity, that we don't hit and miss, and is that true about network marketing? How many people don't keep a sense of urgency about their network marketing business? They might, you know, let it go for 3 weeks, and then they go, oh, I don't understand how it doesn't work, and it's just kind of, you know, we kind of go on a basis that we just we hit and miss instead of having consistent a level of some kind of level of momentum going on in our business. Yeah, and that's a great factor that Barbara Beatty talked about in her article as well. She said she doesn't believe in this mass momentum stuff because she says it doesn't work. It's not self-sustaining. So she likes to build a level of just, you know, a level of momentum that just is something that's manageable momentum, so that people can, it's sustainable. Yeah. But that's diligence and consistent behavior. What else?
Mary Jo? Oh,
uh-huh.
Diane, I would say to keep your why.
Keep
clearly
your why. Mm-hmm. So that the reason you, by keeping your, or let's say you want to say the vision, yeah, having a vision is a principle of success, correct? Because it's the having the vision that really helps, you know, it's having the vision is what helps you persevere and be diligent, right? And have a passion for it. You get it? It's kind of cute. It's like the vision is something we use. It's almost like a tool that we use to help incite people to be more persistent and more diligent in their direction. Yeah, great.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Anita.
Hi, Anita.
Structure.
Structure, yeah. Structure can be, and it's not always true. You can probably, you look at some people out there that are kind of big major promoters that might just on pure personality achieve success, but I'll tell you, that's the non-sustainable success. So having a structure absolutely is important. Uh-huh. Having structure is important so that you know you're on a path, you're on a direction, and you have structure. You keep it, keep knowing that you, when you wake up in the morning, you're not just shooting off the seat of your pants, you're really going in a direction that's clearly outlined for you, right?
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
This is Marla.
Yeah, Mar.
I think integrity.
Integrity is another great one, yep. And that's, you know, we can look at a lot of people on Wall Street today that don't necessarily, they were very successful, they didn't have integrity in many areas. And in the whole mortgage industry, there's been a lot of people without integrity that have made millions of dollars, so they could call that. But I believe and I agree with you, Mar, that there's a sense of values that we have around integrity, that, you know, staying true to our word and true to people and not doing things to just take advantage of others is critical in terms of achieving success. Another one you might want to throw out would be the word focus. You know, focus, so that you have that's kind of a direction. You can say that vision can provide you with focus, but focus means on a daily basis you have clarity about accomplishment, about what to get done, and you have that undying focus so you don't let diversions and distractions into your life. So these are great. You guys did a great job on just coming up in there. And we could go on and on because there are a lot of success principles. But, you know, you hit the majority of ones that I would say are most crucial for success, so that if we understand that this is what it takes for success, why if we take these principles and we apply them to the next thing, because some of you can look at this and say, well, Mary Jo, I've been very focused, I've been diligent, I persevered, I have my why, I have structure, and why isn't my Manatech business working for me? And if we're applying these principles, and that's a big if, because some of us can look at these principles and say, well, you know, Mary Jo, you really are right, I wasn't applying, you know, three of these to my Manatech business, I'm not diligent, I hit and miss, I don't have a structure, I kind of play around with my dream board but don't ever really do it. You know, there's all these things that we can be doing that aren't serving us. But those are just foundational things that have to be part of, you know, when you want to be successful, look at those characteristics and build them in your life. But if we apply them in our life and we're still come up short on being successful, then what could the reasons be for that? And he gives three reasons on that one. He says, number one, it could be that we just don't care about being successful in these other areas. And there's some truth to that. There's even truth to that I see in Manatech. I see some people, and understand that in Manatech, we define success differently. Different ones of us are looking at different levels of success that we want to achieve. And that's important to acknowledge that in different, because some people look at, for Manatech, they might say, you know, all I want to do is help other people, and to them, that's being successful. So you're successful from a monetary perspective or financial perspective might not be that important to you. So your success in Manatech is dictated by other concerns, and that's great because then you can feel a tremendous amount of success every time you help somebody, and whether you're trying to make some income from it or not, it doesn't matter because the whole thing is I'm just helping people. The beauty I see in it is that taking the attitude of just helping people, if you're diligent, persevere, and apply, you know, all these factors to that, you're going to end up making money whether you like it or not, or whether it's a goal or not. But success can be defined different ways. But the other thing that we can have people that come on board who say, you know, all I want to do is cover my products. So they really don't care about being overtly successful. They just want to do enough business that they cover the cost of their products. Or other people might say, I really just want to make an extra $1,000 a month. Everybody has a different level of what their achievement is. So success can be based, or lack of success could be based on how much you're really committed to achieving that success. So is the commitment there? Are you committed, or are you saying that it really doesn't matter, or your actions suggest that you're not committed? Secondly, it could be that our belief is in the myth that in order to be successful in one area of our lives, we have to sacrifice others. And I come up against this all the time in network marketing. I mean, I come across people, one of my major business builders, when she first started, she went into conflict over it, and 2 months, 3 months later, she ended up almost quitting Manatech because she concluded that because of the strife or some problems she was having with her husband and the kids and that kind of stuff, that she concluded in her mind, she convinced herself and talked herself into the fact that she couldn't be a good mother and be good at network marketing at the same time. So that was a great rationale that she came up with, and that caused her to walk away from it for a while. But soon she came back in and re-landed on it and took off and just, you know, almost reached presidential. I mean, get very, very close to reaching presidential. And it's because she realized that that was just a fallacy. She was making stuff up. That was one of those MSUs we talk about, make stuff up. And we do that sometimes to rationalize, to create a result that we want for our life. We'll rationalize that, and it's truly a myth because our world isn't an either-or world. And I can even come across this with people that get in the pastoral field. Sometimes I work with pastors, and they'll look at me and they'll feel guilty about doing network marketing or sharing the Manatech opportunity and or the business opportunity or the products because they have this, you know, this kind of thing going on inside them going, well, God called me to be in the ministry, and I don't know that this is something that I should be doing. And it's intriguing to work with people that have that concept or that thought, because the reality is that, yes, there's no question that your ministry work is your primary work, and that's where the Lord might have called you, and you feel that calling on your life, and that's terrific, and I honor you for that, and I wouldn't want you to leave that because that's what God's calling you to do. But if you feel in your heart that you have this urge to go out and do and share this business opportunity and be entrepreneurial, God also gave you that yearning in your heart. So, you know, there's a balance that it takes. One doesn't have to rob from the other. It's a balance in your life, but you need to be fed in the other yearning that you have in your life as well. You know, going into denial about it and then quashing it isn't, you know, is this part of this whole thing about forbidden fruit? And because there's nothing evil about being involved, and it's not Satan asking you to be involved. It's you know, you can be involved in many different, you know, areas. You can look at some, like Craig Hill, who's involved in massive international Christian outreach programs, and he uses Manatech as an incredible vehicle. He's been a silver presidential in Manatech, and he uses it with a lot of his people in the mission field because it helps them, it creates better skills, interrelationship, interpersonal skills when they get involved in network marketing. So he loves it as a tool. But there are just a lot of people can, you get to free yourself up from these kind of thought processes that will tend to freeze you. Otherwise, you get caught up in myths instead of reality. So it's not an either-or world. You create what you choose to create. And, you know, the opportunities are out there for you to create as much as you want to. It's endless. It's just, you know, there's a concept there that we believe that anything can happen. We can create anything. It's just a matter of putting our minds to it and then applying the success principles to that areas of those areas of our life. But believing in this either or will freeze you and lock you down. Another reason that Terry gives that we get stuck and are unable to be effective is that we don't know how we became successful in the other area. So a lot of people just become successful by just a pure energy force. We work from a tremendous energy source, and we just work, and all of a sudden success comes our way because we put so much energy behind it. But if it's not a structured energy, if it's not something that's clearly definable and the actions aren't definable, then it becomes energy that's non-duplicatable. It just becomes who you are. And a lot of times we see this in network marketing where people, they're uniquely directed and they have a tremendous ability to interact with lots of people and share a lot, but they're non-duplicatable because they saw that characteristic themselves and they ran with the wind with it. But they failed to empower and bring along leaders underneath them because they were just what we call like the one-man show. And I see that in presidentials in Manatech, and I see that in presidentials that no longer qualify as presidentials as well, that they never brought along leaders with them. It was their whole energy force and their whole beingness that created this push and this momentum, but they didn't stop to smell the roses to say, how do I empower others around me? And that's what's so incredibly impactful, is to empower others. So So you need to, if you don't know how you became successful, it's going to be very hard for you to duplicate that success realm. And then, but the one thing he looks at then that really gets into what the main meat of the article is about is, what if there are other factors to success that we may not realize? We're all good at talking about passion and perseverance and structure and diligence and integrity and focus and the why or the vision, all these important characteristics of success. But what if there's some other factors to success that we don't even realize? It's getting into what we don't know we don't know. And sometimes we don't like to open that avenue because, you know, it's like the unknown. But I love to open the unknown because it just helps me to be better. And that's what Terry's going to talk about. He talks about today events and results that every single day of our life we engage in two different types of activities every day of our lives. And here's a principle that might help you start evaluating your life on a different level. We engage in something called present-based events, and we engage in something called future-based events. Present-based events allow us to maintain a certain amount of comfort or happiness in our lives, so they have a purpose. And the purpose is to create an environment, you know, that's comfortable or generally happy, or creates. I call it also activities that tend to maintain status quo. Does that make some sense to some of you? Maintain status quo. And so we can look at our lives today and we can say that what it's really doing is it's present-based events that we take part in because we want to maintain status quo, or we want to have some level of comfort in our life and lifestyle. We want to establish some kind of lifestyle for ourselves. And we see immediate results from those activities. And those activities can be things like cleaning the house or washing the cars or cutting the grass or doing the laundry. And all of these activities, it's really intriguing for me. When I read this article, I started laughing at myself because they're the activities that I really despise the most in life. Where my husband gets a great joy over doing these activities. I'm not saying he loves the laundry. I'm just saying he prides himself in being good at doing laundry. He prides himself in making sure the yard's kept up. And we have a lot of men and women as well that love to do that kind of stuff. They have great joy in, you know, creating a yard or making their yard beautiful and keeping their yard beautiful. And all these activities like this, the cleaning the house, the laundry, the house, the yard, all this, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that drives me a little crazy. And it was funny because these are the kind of things that he talks about are kind of those present-based events. Some of us do them just because we have to do them. We know that they, in order to create any level to try to keep chaos out of our lives and keep some kind of semblance of order in our life, we do these activities because we know we need to do them. But the intriguing thing about these things is no matter how much time we spend in them, they're not going to create any significant change in our lives. And some other, that's the interesting, they kind of sit there and maintain status quo. Other concepts he brought up are even reading self-development books. You know, and I promote that a lot. I share a lot of my library with people and send books out to people just to touch their lives where I see they have a problem they need to tackle. Whether it's a problem around overcoming fear, or it's a problem with worrying about what other people think of you, or whatever it might be. I see problems in different people's lives, and I go, oh my gosh, do I have a book for you? And then I want to share it with them, so I share it. But the idea of sharing the book with somebody, that's not enough. And my acknowledgement of that, starting back in the past, has now made me, every time I share a book with somebody, what I do is I give them my one-page book review sheet, which is a sheet that you can, no matter if you read the book or you do it by chapter, I suggest people do it by each chapter in a book, that they run through my review sheet. Because the reality is that if all you do is read self-development books, you're not going to create a better future for yourself. What creates the better future for yourself is the application of what you learn out of the book to your everyday life. What steps are you taking today to make a better tomorrow? So what application? How are you applying the guts of that to your everyday life? And it's those of us that really take on those challenges and sparks of what do I need to do today to change my tomorrow? Reading a self-development book isn't going to get me there. applying the principles that I might receive, some ideas out of that book, is what's going to get me there. Just like, you can sit down and you can read the Bible, and some people are incredible biblical scholars. They can quote every passage of the Bible. But when I look at their walk with the Lord, it's like it's hardly existent. They don't interact with people. They love to just lock themselves in library. It's this concept of their goal is to be a biblical scholar. Well, wow, that's not what God's goal is for you on earth, is to be a biblical scholar. It sometimes frustrates me because I want to open their world to them, but it's like, take the information in the Scripture and apply it every day of your life. I mean, it's one of my favorite passages is, we're to love others as Christ loved us. I mean, that's a standard I can't meet as a human being. It's impossible as a human being. It's only possible through Him that I can do that, but it's the idea that I try to apply that every day of my life. It's about how do I, if I keep working on that application, now I've shifted. I'm taking a present-based event and I'm making it what He calls a future-based event. Reading medical journals, going to trainings, listening to motivational tapes, eating a better diet, even eating a better diet He referred to as a present tense event or present-based events. Because if you eat better today, you feel better today. So it's about better today. But if you really want to create a great physical body, then you've got to start doing things that are going to be not necessarily produce results today. And that's where we start getting the distinction between present-based and future-based events. Present-based events are we do something today to see a result today, okay? We present-based events. We clean the house to see a clean house today. We cut the grass to see a better-looking yard. We mow the lawn. We plant, some flowers because we want the flowers to be beautiful today. I mean, these are present kind of things. We listen to motivational tapes for today. We're going to be motivated. But we know that burns off a day later, 2 days later, when somebody cuts you off on the freeway. And all of a sudden, you're angry again, and there comes all those negative responses. Present-based events. Future-based events, here's your distinction, that's what I'm talking about, are the sources of what truly changed our life. And what future-based events are there events that create results that only show up in the future. So there, you take steps today. What actions are you doing today that don't create results today, but they'll create results a month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 10 months from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years. It's making a dedication of our time and energy on a daily basis to activities that we don't see results in today. We see results in the future. Those are future-based events, and they're truly the sources of what change our lives. Now, going back to his time allocation, what time are we allocating to future-based events in our day versus are what? Present-based events. And when you start analyzing that in your life, wow, things really pop up. You go, oh my gosh, And you start looking at our to-do list and maybe taking your highlighter and saying, I'm just going to highlight on my to-do list all future-based events. What are things I do today that won't show up in my life, the results won't show up, and they'll only occur in the future? Because the future-based events truly support changes in our life. They're truly going to support changes in your Manatech business. And one of the problems that we have in recognizing the need or why we need to do it, engage in these events, because if we don't acknowledge what future they're going to provide for us, then we lose interest or we grow discouraged and even quit with participating in these future-based events. One main example he gives us is exercise. If he just talks about our regular lifestyle, so many of us don't exercise it, and we don't exercise on a daily basis. Why? Because we don't see results. If you could exercise today and lose 2 pounds off your 2 inches off your waistline, every one of you would do that. Everyone, except for those of you who are skinny, not trying to lose weight, but I'm talking about people who want to get in better shape. If you knew that 2 inches would fall off your waist today if you exercised, then you would do it every day. But then it would become a present-based event because you're getting results today. So those aren't hard to do because and people feel like they want to do them because we feel rewarded. We get immediate gratification, immediate reward. But future-based events are not events that create immediate rewards. And that's where we have a problem, a psychological problem for most of us, because what we do is we lose interest in them, or we don't stay committed to them, we don't have the perseverance, because we're not seeing that immediate gratification. Our world is so structured around immediate gratification today, especially with the pace and we run with today. We have technology speeding up, I mean, at a massive rate, and things change, and we want new things. The minute something new comes out, we want immediate gratification, immediate result. It's what caused us to get so much in trouble with using other people's money, because we wanted things that we couldn't afford, but we figured out a way to get them. We didn't have to figure it out. We were told. In fact, we were getting notices every day about new credit cards we could get so we could use other people's money, because that helped stimulate the economy, and those big banks made billions and billions of dollars off of all of us. All that interest payments at 18%, are you kidding me? They were lollygagging. They were making their multi-million-dollar salaries and bonuses, because they were taking advantage of you by putting credit cards in your hand and you using other people's money. So all that immediate gratification stuff, what we need to do is start getting into what is not giving me immediate gratification. What is a future-based event? And if we look at Manitech or we look at network marketing, we can list a bunch of activities. And I put all those activities, not all of them, I put a bunch of them on the outline today. What activities are required to be successful in network marketing? If I ask you, what's required to be successful in Manitech? People would say, well, I need to listen to CDs, I need to read some good books. I recommend John Kalinge's book, How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. I think it's a great book. Give you kind of a roadmap of how to do network marketing. Okay, you attend seminars, you want to participate in trainings, you want to make prospecting calls, you want to make business presentations, you want to attend self-development seminars, you want to set goals, okay? All these, there are a bunch of things. You can make a whole another laundry list. I just, off the top of my head, gave you about 8 or 10 of them on the outline today. Well, if we look at that whole laundry list of activities required in order to be successful in networking, which ones are present-based and which ones are future-based? Anyone want to take a jump at which one is future-based? Which ones are present-based? I'll tell you, in that whole laundry list, listen to CDs, that's present-based. You listen to CDs, it's like reading a book. It might do something for you right now, but unless you take a sheet of paper and you start saying, what am I going to change in my life and build new activities in your life that are going to create different results in the future, that book has an immediate impact right that moment, and that's the end of that.
Making prospecting calls is future-based.
Woohoo! There's somebody who's got a winning call. Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to suggest to you that's the only one on the whole list that's future-based. Somebody goes, well, Mary Jo, setting goals. Setting goals, is it? No, making business presentations is something you're making in front right then and there. You're making a business presentation. But you're not prospecting. You're not pursuing what's going to cause your business to grow. I'm not telling you not to do these activities, people. Understand that. That's not what this call is about. It's not about what to do and what not to do. It's about where are we focusing our energies and our efforts on a daily basis. If we want to put our number one focus and energy into future-based activities. The one thing on that whole list that's going to grow your business for you in the future but it doesn't provide you immediate results right now is what? Making prospecting calls. You're going to, making those calls, and that's why we don't do it. We don't do enough of it. We don't go out there and take the time and energy to contact 5 people a day. The Koreans get this. They got this down. They know that everything they do is about creating a better tomorrow. Well, let's do something that's going to create a better tomorrow. How am I going to make this business grow? There's only one way. It's making those prospecting calls, making prospecting calls and prospecting calls. I've got to make 5 new contacts every day. I got to pull 5 new calls every day. They also do business presentations, but a business presentation presents a result for today. A prospecting call is something that you're what? Look at the difference. A prospecting call is something that you're investing time and energy in, but you're not going to see a result today. Most of us don't sign somebody up the minute when we make a first contact, a first prospecting call. Our concept is that our whole grappling with this person is about presenting the plan, getting them involved, getting them started on a path, it's all about finding those new people. finding new people, finding new blood. That's what it is. So we want to dedicate our time and energies into things, activities that are going to help us be successful and drive our success. And that means taking what we might look at as a present-based event and making it into a future-based event. So there's ways of doing that as well. You know, there's ways of taking a present-based event, like I talked to you about reading books. If I take reading a book and I want to make it into a future-based event, what do I need to do about it? I need to do the analysis on the book as it applies to my life. What am I going to do different in my life because of this book, and start implementing the change in my life today that's going to create the better result for me in the future because of what I learned in that book? That's what takes a present event and creates present-based event and creates it into a future-based event, because you're choosing to do an application of what you just learned to totally change your tomorrow. So look at your activities around networking, but I'm telling you, making prospecting calls is the number one thing. It's the number one thing. It's all about future-based, because it's not about what happens today. It's about, hey, I go out, and if I contact, it's kind of like putting it in the, you know, we talked about this last week on a call. I don't know anyone who's contacted five new people every day who hasn't reached presidential if they did it every single day of their life and followed up and pursued it and whatever. They all get there. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but I am going to tell you that that activity is so critical to creating a network marketing business. So pick and choose how you're going to, you know, what your commitment's going to be around that, and make it happen for yourself. And we look at how does this relate to Slight Edge. Some of you have read the Slight Edge book, and we talk about what activities do we know about today that could totally change our lives, but we just don't do them. And that's the same thing. Slight Edge, that book is very similar to what Gary talks about in this article of why is my life not changing. And the Slight Edge is talks about the same kind of concept. It says, what changes are we willing to do every day? We don't see results today or tomorrow or 3 months from now or 6 months from now maybe, but we're willing to implement them today because we know that the end result for us is going to be very, very good. So that's why I exercise. That's why I prospect. That's why I do what I do, pour into, you know, you could say leadership development of your leaders too. Can be your when you do leadership trainings for your leaders and things like that, you're making investments of time because you know what? That's a future-based event. When I do leadership trainings for my leaders, when I help grow leaders, when I pour time and energy into my leaders, not when I enable them and do things for them, but when I empower them to become better leaders. Enabling them is a present-based event. Empowering them is a future-based event. Notice the difference. Huge. And a lot of us are supreme enablers, and we need to start moving into being in extreme empowerers, and that's what's going to create the best results for us. So a Slight Edge, same thing, same concept. How do we move into things and do things that we don't necessarily want to do, but they're healthy for us to do because they're going to create major results for us? So the bottom line is we're busy every day. We're busy. We busy ourselves with doing present-based events and by doing what we are guaranteeing that our future lifestyle will be exactly like the one we have now. Isn't that intriguing? So the more we focus on present-based events, the more we guarantee that we'll have no change in our life. And then we end up at the end of the day or the week or the month or the year and say, why isn't my Manatech business changing? Well, because I'm dedicating all my time and energy to present-based events instead of future-based events. So the concept of this article is to really take a real close look and evaluate what's on your to-do list today. Some of you, if you looked at, if you're doing to-do lists, which I highly recommend everybody do, they're invaluable because they'll help you achieve the maximum amount on a daily basis. But if you get work off that to-do list and you just take a highlighter pen and highlight what you believe are truly future-based events, based on the analysis here, not what you think, but based on the analysis you heard today. Because some of you can negotiate and argue and rationalize about how cleaning the house is going to be a future-based event. But it's not. It's a present-based event. And that, again, focus your energy. If you spent, this is a great area to look at the Pareto principle. You know, 80% of your, it's 20% of your activities produce 80% of your results. Look at those 20% of activities, and I bet you most of those are going to be future-based events. So start focusing on those future-based events. It doesn't mean you don't clean the house, people. Don't read this wrong. This talk isn't about telling you not to do present-based events. It's just saying focus on your future-based events. Give them all the attention and all the priority because time is what? You're a limited asset. You only have so much time, and you want to make sure you do the most crucial things in the time that you have. And maybe the house gets cleaned the day after tomorrow because today I want to do X, Y, Z. A lot of people that are successful in networking, that's what they do. They talk, sit down with their family, and they say, you know what, I want to run this business. I want to do the best job I can at this business, and I need your dedication and help and support. So give me 12 months, and let me. This is what my life's going to look like. I'm going to give you a picture of what this is going to look like. That means, Sarah, you're going to do cooking on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Polly, you're going to do it on Tuesday, Thursday, and you're going to do this, and you're going to. I'm going to be doing this, 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 and this, because this is my life, and this is how our family's going to be run for 12 months to see if we can't get into that dream house that we always wanted, or we can't win this trip to Costa Rica, or we can't, you know, you get focused on what needs to happen and you create it in the environment in which you live. And we're all capable of doing that because we're all capable of making choices. So it's about really focusing on what are things, actions I need to be doing every day that are going to help me change my life and support the change that I want in my life instead of maintaining my status quo. Okay, so great. So any feedback, anybody look at this differently? Did this open your eyes to some things and or just let you look at some principles that you knew but shed some new light for you? Is anyone on the call going, oh my gosh, look at my to-do list. It's pretty much a disaster. I want my life to be different. I want newness and greatness, but I'm not working on the things that I need to in order to make it happen.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener.
Eye-opener? Good. Good to hear it. Great. Yeah. It's kind of a
great
new way to look at it. Yeah, go ahead.
I woke up with that. I have control over two things, my attitude and my what I do with my time today, and this really flowed with that. And I don't know how you say joy, but I guess what I'm seeing is I've been focusing a lot on some disappointments and things in my life, and
uh-huh.
It's not getting me anywhere. It's keeping me the same thing. I just made a decision. I am going to be joyful today and open up myself, and I made my list of the to-do things that I'm going to do, and
amen.
That are going to be future-based. And so this really goes along with it. I'm just really excited. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Great. And great awareness for you. And I just keep you in my prayers around that because, you know, we all have, you know, stuff in our lives that can really bring us down because they're negative things. I mean, each one of us, it doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, you can look at people that are full of joy and some people perceive Mary Jo as full of joy. But I'll tell you, I got stuff in my life that if I focus on it, oh boy, it could rob me. But I, you know, instead I love to just focus on the, I try to take everything that happens out there that might be perceived as something negative, and I try to look at, I play that Romans 8:28. I just kind of look at it and say, okay, God, there's something good in this, and I know it's there, and I just can't see it because my ways aren't your ways, and your ways aren't our ways, but you know what, I'm going to find something good in it, and I search for it and find it, and I just find it, and then I lay, now that, because I think it's hard. Here's a good kind of a treatment that you can use with negative things that happen in your life. I think it's hard to just totally dismiss things in your life because they take up, I'll tell you, like you have this house in your head and it has all these rooms and something negative happens to you and all of a sudden it fills up one of those rooms, okay? And we try to dismiss it or avoid it and just say, oh, I'm just going to be joyful, and we have to use positive affirmations. We use all these mechanisms to try to avoid grappling with it. But it's still stuck in that house. You follow me? You've allowed it to fill up a room in your house, in your head. And so my philosophy is, and my approach to it is this. If I can, I want to deal with what's in that room, and the way I deal with it is not to focus on the negative parts of it, which are plenty, but to just say, okay, what do I need? What do I need to make this look like? I mean, what is this really, truly? What is the goodness out of this event? And it is hard sometimes. I mean, trust me, I consistently bring up my brother being shot and killed by his wife. That it was very hard to find a positive. But I found a positive out of that, the beauty of me being able to take in his two children and basically live with my brother again because his son is just like he was. So it was just, like, so cool. I mean, so I got to replace that. And once I replace it, what I've done is been able to empty out that room and place positive into the room. Now I don't have to worry about positive affirmations and focusing on joy every morning because, you know what, I've replaced it with a positive thought. Now, is it still there that my brother's dead and gone and I don't have him on earth with me? Absolutely. But you know what? I have these two beautiful children that I get to call every day and I get to, you know, they're coming home for Mother's Day. And we just have this unbelievable relationship. And so the joy of all that far outweighs. But it's because I was open and ready to make that happen. I get that that's very critical part of our walk is our concept of being able to displace the patterning, the thought patterning, and the rooms that we fill up with negatives, you know, and instead put positives in there in place. So displacement to me is a very important part of processing so that it allows you to win that battle and not have to just consistently be persuading yourself every day of, oh my God, oh, I got it. I'd rather just wake up and be full of joy because what's in my brain is positive, right? Okay? So if that helps you as well, that's another way to grapple with it. It's a concept that, you know, and it gives you a picture of what you're actually doing is you're just unloading a room and refilling it up. Yeah. And I think Gary Cox talks. Yeah, go ahead.
I like that because it's, you know, I think of it like cleaning up some mess that's, say, in the bathroom. If you just close the door and walk away and walk around it, it's still there. You've got to get in there and deal with it.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it even applies, like, take it another step further. Let's say you have a mess in your life around a relationship with somebody. Let's say there's somebody, like I had a person about, isn't it funny? I can't. It's so far back. About 10 years ago, there was this woman in my life that was really. We had some bad interactions that happened in a business setting, and it was like robbing me. I mean, it was still there. It wasn't something I thought of very often, but it was. I want to call it unresolved business, right? So, I didn't necessarily know how to resolve it, and the idea that I had to resolve it was not so important that this woman would see it my way or would change her opinion on it. But what was important for me was that I needed to release it. So I wrote a letter to her. I never got a response. We've never had a communication since then. But you know what it did for me? It got rid of it. I mean, it was my way of, I patched it up. I gave her some suggestions on things I thought that would really support her because they really supported me in making a shift on where we were in our relationship, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know what? It's gone. So it's kind of like, don't let unfinished business linger out there that's negative for you because, you know, we're going to have, it more of it enters our lives and we just need to, the better we get at being able to grab onto it, understand it, and, you know, have our mourning period. Maybe that's a, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 2 days, whatever you choose your mourning, try to keep that, you know, under control. And then be able to grapple with it in a positive way so you're really displacing it. And, wow, how empowering that is. Great. Good, good, good. Well, you guys are doing great. Just keep up the great work, and we'll talk future-based events. So go back and look at that to-do list and grab all those future-based events. I know sometimes we go, oh, but I, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know what? I have one really present-based event that I have to tackle, and it's called my tax return. There's nothing future-based about that event. So, but there are things, it's like cleaning the house and all that stuff. So don't get down about the things that need to get done. You know, tackle them and make them happen. Make choices to do them. I choose to do my tax return, so I'm empowered to do it. But it's not robbing me. It's just right now that's something that's hot on the agenda, has to get done, so I choose to do that. It's something I can't put off, and I will not procrastinate on it. I'm going to get it done. But the idea is that, you know, our focus needs to be where are those future-based events that will truly change my life. Because the IRS, I only have to grapple with them the next 48 hours, and I'm done. I mean, that's not bad considering I got the next 354 days, you know, out of 356 that I get to do all those future-based events. But and that's the way we need to look at it. Certain things we need to get done, but we still have tremendous amount of time out there to do future-based events and really make a difference. All right, love you guys. Go ahead.
One question. You were talking about the new economic stimulus thing that's on the web.
Uh-huh.
I thought you said a lady that did it. She's in the Haynes group. How do I do that?
How do you get there? I think it's on the Yes web. It's on the economicstimulus.com website, and right at the top, I believe Lydia said it was at the top. It's a new presentation on the. They have Bill Merlos is on there, but they also have this one. The group is called AK Group, I believe, but I believe it's Anita Rebutka's group that's put that together.
Okay. I went there. I didn't see it. It seems like
Lydia's out right now, so I can't ask her. She's the one that showed me the replay of it, but I didn't see exactly where she clicked on the site.
Okay.
But I'll send an email out if
it's on YouTube. But I didn't know that it was actually had been put up on the economic stimulus website. So I will look there again and see. I know I've seen it on the YouTube thing, and it is interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay. Well, Lydia told me it's on the economic stimulus. That's why she put it on there. So I suspect. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Rachel, thank you, Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
Regarding using the economicstimulus.com website, you know, when you know for Bill Merle's thing, you said not to just directly send people there, right? Did you suggest that or like new prospects?
I don't like the website because I think the website looks like a shopping cart.
Yeah, that's what it does.
You can actually take the link and just email the link to people. Do you know how to do that?
Oh, I've been trying to do that, but I don't know a real good way to just get it there.
The other way you can do it is just send people to 3kin30days.com. That website.
I thought that was off.
No, back up and running. Up and running.
Oh, it is up and running. Okay,
back
good.
Back up and running. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the other thing you were talking about with Anita Rudd, we could just email.
Well. Same thing. I don't like to send people to that website because I think it's not an attractive website for a business, for a prospect. It's really a website that was built for associates because it has it's a shopping cart is what it is.
Yeah, that's what I agree with you on that. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. One other question. You talked about this Barbara Beatty. I didn't get on quite at the beginning to hear where to get that article.
There's an article in the current Networking Times, March-April edition 2009, and Barbara Beatty wrote the article. She's interviewed, and I just find her heart is just so in alignment with mine in so many ways. It was one of those articles I kept reading. I go, oh, my gosh, it sounds like something I wrote. You know, I mean, there's a couple of things in there I don't necessarily totally agree with or I mean have said differently, but so much of it was just about what I believe in networking and what I believe it's, you know, all the experiences I have, and I guess, you know, there's probably a lot of people. I think we do network marketing differently. Everybody's a little bit different. That's why you guys are on my call versus maybe somebody else's call because you feel an alignment of heart with Mary Jo. Well, this person really has that same kind of alignment, I think. She comes across in such a way that it's really something. For the most part, I really loved all the stuff that she wrote up in there because it sounded like me. It was almost like I wrote it. So, and some people I can read a lot of network marketing articles and books and things like that I don't have any association. I mean, I can't associate with the people because that's not where my passion is. You know, I'm not one of those, you know, pound on the streets, hard running, you know, you talk to 40, like Jet. That's not my style. I mean, I tried Jet's concepts of contacting 20 new people a day, and I did that for about 2 weeks early on in my networking career, and it just fried me, and I was not happy, and I wasn't going to do something that wasn't going to be a joy to me, and that wasn't a joy. So I went back to doing, you know, 5 a day, and that was joyful for me. And then, you know, as I grew into it, of course, I spent more time in leadership development. But it's, you have to find what's in, and I think Barbara and I have similar concepts of what's joyful for us. It's just, you know, it was neat. It was just a neat connectiveness with what she describes. So if you want to get
Mary Jo.
Yep.
Mary Jo, this is Len
Bannister. Hi, Len.
Yeah, I got that is on the economic stimulus plan.
Website.
Yeah, it's right at the top. It says provision, the economic stimulus plan for Costa Rica.
Provision. That's what it's called, provision. There you go. Whoever asked that question about Anita Rebecca's, that's called provision. So just look at the top of the page on economic stimulus website. Thanks, Lynn.
You bet.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Good call, Mary Jo.
Thanks.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh. One more voice, and then we'll go. What's up?
I listen to the webinars.
Uh-huh.
What happened Monday night and Wednesday night? Last
what happened?
Week.
Yeah.
I didn't get any response on either one.
Oh, you called into the Manatech?
Yes.
Are you Manatech's yes calls they have on Monday?
No, I dialed in the telephone number to the webinar that came in the email for Wednesday. I listened Monday night, and there was no webinar.
On Wednesday night? I don't know which webinar you're talking about. On Wednesday night webinar? We don't do a Wednesday night. We do a Monday night, 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Well, whose webinar was it?
It was an email from you.
No. I don't do a webinar on Wednesday night. I do webinars on Monday night only at 8:30 and 9 o'clock, and you need to register in order to be able to dial in on it. And to register, you look at your outline, and you can see how you can go in and register. And once you've registered, you don't have to register each week. You're automatically linked into it. But I only do webinars on Monday night. I don't do Wednesday night webinars, so I don't know where the Wednesday night came from. Sorry for any misinformation, but I try to have some time with my husband during the week, and Wednesday nights went for a night. Okay. All right. I love you guys. Have a great week, and don't forget, last week of business period, let's get out there and get things done, and let's start, after we get done with our tax return, let's start really focusing on future-based events. All right. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.